He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, guys, thanks for supporting the show. I got a list of sponsors here. So first off, we got Harito Bending, harito-bending.com. You're going to use promo code CHEERS for 10% off. And a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. So I appreciate that. You know, everybody wants to be on the Harito cert list. I haven't heard a bad thing about the quality of his bolts. I can personally say that they're the same every time. Some really hard bolts on there. You got certs for every style, including snapping. He's also got wraps and t-shirts on there. So definitely hit up HaritoBending.com and use the promo code CHEERS. Next, we got Jed Johnson's Nail Bending eBook. If you want to check this eBook out, if you're a beginner, message me for the link, because if you use this link, a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. We also have the Gripito Trainer. This is an all-in-one grip training tool. If you use promo code Beyond the Bend, you're going to save 15% off of a sale of $90 or more. We also have Gil, former guest, BarrelStrengthSystems.com. Use promo code Beyond for 10% off. Gil's got a ton of cool stuff on there, including the flask. This is a pinch device. If you can do a body weight pull-up on this thing, you're going to get on a roster. I think that's pretty cool. All right. Lastly, we have Hard Life Fightwear. That's hardlifefightwear.com or .co.uk. If you want some rash guards or something like that for jiu-jitsu, they also got a bunch of other cool t-shirts on there. You're going to use promo code Beyond the Bend for 15% off. Also, if you want to get on a roster, an unofficial roster, hit up at Eat Chalk Get Big on Instagram. If you bent an 80D unbraced or two 60Ds taped together unbraced, you're going to get on an unofficial roster. The other thing is, if you snapped a horseshoe, I don't need a video. I'm keeping track of people who have snapped horseshoes just because it's a cool thing to do. If you've also snapped one into three pieces, hit me up. Or if you've snapped one laying down, there's only two people on that list, so get on it. Last thing, a couple new things coming up. I'm going to be putting out a feat of the week. This isn't really a challenge more than just like something cool to do week by week. It's going to be just like some athletic stuff mixed with some bending and snapping. So I'm going to be putting that out. And the only way to participate is just to do it and then tag me in the post and throw it up on Instagram or Facebook. The other thing is every month, I'm going to be doing a monthly challenge. We've had some really good participation lately. I want to keep that going. I have some really cool things planned. So I really appreciate everybody's support and looking forward to another good year. All right, thanks.
All right, Amanda Hudson, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cody.
So steel bending is a pretty niche sport with only a handful of people in it, what it feels like. And in those handful of people, there's only a few women that I know of that are steel bending. So much respect to that and welcome.
Thank you.
So tell me about the first time that you saw someone bend a piece of steel.
Okay. I think it was about, let's see, maybe 8-9 years ago. I was at Dave Whitley's gym in Nashville. And I went there to go to a bent press and biofeedback workshop that he and Adam Glass were doing. And there's probably like 15 of us there. And I was really into doing the bent press at the time. So that's why I went to that. And I wanted to learn from Adam too about his biofeedback. And there's a few guys there bending, and I was like thinking, you know, this is really interesting. But at the time I was so, I get like obsessed with one thing and then I'll just like work on it for years, you know? So at that time it was the bent press. So that was all I was really focused on at that time. But that was the first time I saw it in person. And then So forward a few years, and Paul McElroy is having his amazing 12th certification in Dublin. And I contacted him through email and told him I wanted to, you know, move to Belfast and do the Amazing 12 with him and just experience his, you know, his program, because I wanted to bring him to my clients. And he invited me to do the certification. So I went to the first one, and lo and behold, Dave Whitley's at that certification.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah, so we were there together. And I was one of two girls at the cert, and there was, again, a bunch of guys that were bending, right? And I was hearing them talk about this. And so we're wrapping up the day, and Dave said, hey, let's all meet down in the pub, you know, about, you know, this evening, and do some steel bending and have a Guinness. And so I went down there with this other girl, and I don't know, there's like 12 of us sitting down there. And Ben Mattingly, I don't know if you know him. He's a,
I don't know that name, actually.
Irish strongman and really cool guy. He should probably have him on too.
Awesome.
Anyway, he had his bag of nails, and we're sitting there, and you know, all the guys are like taking turns, and some could do it, some couldn't do it, some had never done it. But Dave was just, you know, giving everyone instruction, and so was Ben. And Ben looked at me and he goes, do you want to try one? And I was like, yeah, I do. So he wrapped up a white nail for me, and it was just like, you know, like a coat hanger. Yeah. He goes, oh, that was too easy. Let me give you another one. So then he gave me a green nail.
Yeah.
Same thing, bent it really super easy. And he was like, okay. So then he gives me a yellow nail. And I was like, I couldn't bend it, you know? And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to bend this thing. I just thought I was going to just keep on bending them, you know, every time he handed me one. And I was looking at it, and I was like, you're supposed to go from this green nail to this yellow nail?
Yeah.
So he goes, I know, it's crazy, but yes. You know, and he's like, that's going to take some technique and some practice. And so that was where it started for me.
Awesome.
I got, ordered my bag of nails, and I just went like crazy.
That's so cool. That's actually not the, do you know Brett Bracken?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So Brett had a similar story where he was at a Whitley seminar or something like that, and he saw people bending in the corner, and that was his introduction to it. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to get Dave on the show.
He's super entertaining. He would be great to have on your show.
Yeah. I've watched some of his performances on YouTube. They're very, very cool.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
So tell me a little bit about your athletic background. Did you play sports growing up and stuff like that?
Yeah, I was growing up as a competitive giant slalom skier. I'm from Montana originally.
Cool.
And grew up doing that in the winter time, and then climbing in the summer. And with my brother and my family, we're all like, you know, big, just that was just our outdoor activity. A lot of hiking, a lot of kayaking, but mostly climbing, and always skiing in the winter time. My brother's a snowboarder, and or I think he was. He tried it. Anyway, that was kind of it. I didn't really do any team sports per se, just mostly individual type sports.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then as you got older, how did you get into becoming a trainer and things like that?
Well, I'd always trained, you know, because I was needed to do it for my, you know, for the ski team and everything. But kind of got out of it as I got older and just did my own thing in the gym. And then I kind of moved all over the place doing stuff. I went to art school, and I worked in galleries and things, and just kind of was in that world for a really long time. And then I moved back here to be near my grandmother. She wasn't doing well, and just wanted to come spend her last days with her in Louisiana. And was working out at the gym one day, and the woman who owned the gym came over, and she was like, have you ever thought about being a trainer? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I could, but you know, I'm just kind of doing my own thing. I have a job and stuff. And she was like, you should really consider this. And so it's like, yeah, maybe I will do that, you know? And it just, I started doing it and started getting clients, and it just kind of got bigger and bigger. And then I got my own gym, and then outgrew that place and got a bigger one, and ended up doing the thing with Paul McElroy and Strong First. And yeah, so it just kind of went from there. And that was 16 years ago.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I totally relate to like the individual endeavor, like in sports. It comes up on the show a lot, but it's, so I played baseball and soccer, but then when I got to about ninth grade, I had, always like was into skateboarding and like bands. My dad was a musician, so I knew how to play and stuff like, so I'd have little punk bands and stuff like that. And I just, skateboarding was too important to me and going to shows and stuff like that. So I quit all the team sports at ninth grade. And then later when I was like 20, found jujitsu, you know, but I always like could relate to the idea of like, you know, I think I had experiences where maybe like in a soccer game, I didn't even like play, but essentially I still won or something. And it's just like, there's no glory to that. So it's like, I love the idea. I talked to my son about it a lot too, because he's like, he's nine and he's like considering competing in jiu-jitsu and stuff. And it's just like the idea of having all the glory to yourself, but all the heartbreak too. It's just like kind of makes it so much more exciting in those individual endeavors, you know?
I agree. If you win or you lose, it's your fault, your deal, no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't feel like I'm a very competitive person either. Like and I'm not knocking anyone who is at all or team sports. I just never could get into that group rah-rah mentality. Do you know what I mean?
It didn't
drive me at all. It's more like, what can I do better tomorrow myself?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I kind of relate to that on a personal level too, because like I've never been that, I wasn't like that much like for the team or something like that, but I've certainly, as I've grown older and continued to practice martial arts and like getting into bending and lifting and stuff like that, I certainly have a competitive drive, you know, like if I like just the fact of seeing someone bend a nail, like I was like, well, they can do it. Like, I feel like I should be able to as well, you know? So it's like, I guess there's two different types of like competitiveness in that sense.
Definitely. Absolutely. Because I know exactly what you're talking about, because when I was saying I couldn't bend that yellow nail, well, then of course I became completely obsessed with it, you know, and kept trying and it just kept eluding me. And Dave Whitley was my distance coach for a while. And he told me one day to tape two green nails together and wrap them up and bend them. And I did it. I bent it. And I posted it and I tagged him in it because I wanted it to be like a surprise to him.
Cool.
And this girl came on and she's like, so basically you're saying you bent a yellow? And I was like, is that what that means? Is it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, pretty much, Amanda. He's like, yeah, that you can bend a yellow. And I had a serious mental block with it.
Yeah.
You know? And still, so then again, tried the yellow, still didn't happen, you know, and kept practicing it. And long story short, my son went to school in Ireland, went to college in Ireland. And so I was over there a lot visiting and going to see Paul and all those guys, you know, and I brought some nails with me and called Ben Mattingly to make a plan with him for the day. We're going to drive down to Cork and visit him and just spend the day going around. Anyway, he had this client and friend, Anja Tetzner, and he had been training her to bend and deadlift. And she's a super strong girl, you know, but she's really funny because she's like when she bent the yellow nail for the first time, it wasn't even a big deal to her because she didn't realize she doesn't know how strong she is. Like,
right.
She's just kind of like, eh, whatever, you know? And so I just like watched her videos constantly and watched her technique. And it wasn't like I wanted to beat her. I was just like so enamored with what she could do, you know?
Yeah.
And so she was with him when he picked us up that day. And we just rode all around and everything. And Dave Whitley had called me and, you know, I told him or messaged me. And I said, Ben said, I'm going to bend the yellow nail today at his gym. And he was like, this is what I want you to do. He's like, all day in your head, I want you to visualize yourself bending that nail.
Yeah.
And just say it out loud, say it all day. So the whole drive down there to meet Ben, I was saying it, my son was like, oh my God, I have to bend that nail so you'll shut up about it. And I was like, I'm gonna bend that nail.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got there and finally at the end of the day, Ben was like, well, let's go to my gym and do this. And he wrapped it up for me and handed it to me. And it bent so easy.
Awesome.
It was bizarre. And then I was like, I just shocked myself and I almost started crying. And then I was like jumping up and down. And I looked at Angela and she was just like,
yeah,
so excited.
Right.
And then right. I was like, she has no idea. Like she has no idea what a big deal that is.
Yeah.
Do,
yeah.
You know? Cause it's so, I guess it's easy for her. I don't know. She's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, she was
I saw do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally relate. The first night, similar to you, when I got the bag of nails, I just like wrapped up the white in a single wrap, you know, just like didn't know what I was doing and got the white and the green. And then I kinked the yellow in this funny way that I always describe on the show. It's like this, it was like reversed, except then I twisted my wrist too. So it was like this like weird, and then I had to take a couple days off and like watch more stuff and then go back to it. And it wasn't until I started bending a few of those that I got comfortable with the double overhand position. I just felt like, I think I've said it before, but it's like my posture from playing so much guard in jiu-jitsu was like with my shoulders tucked in, you know, like everything tight. And it was really hard to get like a 7-inch bar.
Yeah.
So that comes up a lot on the show, mm-hmm. is just like shoulder mobility to get like a 7-inch bar, especially I'm only 5'7", so I don't really have like the longest wingspan either. So anything 6-inch always feels a lot easier. But yeah, just with some practicing and just like studying everything, I finally got that. And that yellow felt good too, for sure. That was a big one.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely the longer arms. My friend Amy and I talk about it all the time because we both have super long arms. Anja has super long arms. Like that leverage helps a lot, you know?
It definitely does. So after you conquered the yellow nail that day, what came next in the your journey, bending journey?
Well, then he handed me the blue. And he said, do this one now. And I did it too.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, it was weird.
That's great.
So weird. Yeah. I didn't close it, but it was, you know, beyond kinked for sure.
That's awesome.
So yeah, now I'm just, so then I just kept bending yellows and bending them and not completely closing them every time. And I was kind of stumped there for a good while. And then I kind of went off on this deadlifting thing for a while and came back to it and been training with Paul McElroy for years, you know, private training. And he was like, let's get back to bending and get those yellows dialed in. And so now, yeah, they're really easy now.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I bend every other day.
Really? Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's more frequent than most people say, actually.
Yeah.
How many bars on a typical?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
Just bend one, close it, that's it.
Wow.
I'm always tempted to do more. And he's like, no, don't do that.
Just interesting.
Yeah.
So Paul programs the bending into like overall strength training.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, so, sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say my bending day is pistols, then back squat, then I bend, and then I deadlift.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's so basically ultimately what I'm most interested in, because hopefully, you know, there will be a time I return to jiu-jitsu and I'm hoping that I'm so much stronger and my grip is so much stronger because of all this stuff, because I really do find bending not as a singular feat or sport, so to speak, but as a training modality, the most interesting to me. I find that to be like, so interesting to have this thing as part of the training, not necessarily the thing that you're doing, you know, like as your singular sport, say, which it sort of has turned into for me without the other thing. But I really just think it's so interesting to have this thing programmed into your overall strength training that's so unique. I heard that like John Brookfield, I think, programmed it in for general strength training. And then people have said Chris Rice did it for some of his like track and field athletes. I just find that so interesting. So what ways do you think that bending has made you stronger for other stuff? Have you noticed strength gains from it that you can directly link?
Definitely. I always got really stumped on my deadlift. I love deadlifting. Like, it's my favorite lift. That and the bent press, I love. And both things, the grip before the weight and my strength gave out. And the bending has changed that tremendously. Awesome. Like, my grip does not give out at all anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It's the strength now that will, and it's pretty darn heavy. So it's like, it's cool because at least now I know I can get there, that my hands aren't going to give out. I can build the strength. But,
How about, let's turn the question on the other end. And so you, as a trainer, what are some things that like a beginner bender should be doing to potentially get better at bending? And if you just say, just bend more, that's fine too, because some people say that.
Well, I mean, yeah, you have to go into it knowing that if you want to do it, you're going to have to dedicate the time to do it. It's not going to be a real fast process at all. And you just have to bend a lot and have to be really patient with it. But I would say also, though, to stay really in your comfort zone for a long time and just do it until it's boring and so easy before even moving on. Just drill it into the ground over and over and over, and then you can move on, you know? And I also think it's really pretty important. I mean, it was for me anyway, to get a good bending coach, you know, because there was things I was videoing myself, but there were things that I was doing that I wasn't picking out and seeing that they'll tweak like that. And it makes all the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't see in yourself or feel, you know, if you really want to do it and you want to get good at it.
Yeah.
You know? I want to keep progressing with it. So that's why I do that. Yeah.
And how about specific exercises or lifts? Like, would you recommend anything in particular for that if someone wants to become a stronger double overhand bender or even reverser double underhand?
Yeah, I would say definitely deadlift for the grip. And I used to do a lot of hanging. I did that just because I did so much rock climbing before in the past too. We used to have a pegboard at the gym.
Cool. Yeah.
I think that helped, but also bench press.
Yeah.
For sure. The bench press.
Nice. Yeah. So many people. So it's like pretty much everybody I have on the show comes from one of three backgrounds. It's climbing, grappling, or powerlifting. I don't know if there's been any exceptions yet. I have to think about it. Almost everybody checks one of those boxes. It's so funny.
It's so.
I guess all those things, you're going to have an appreciation for grip strength, you know?
Yep. Well, and like, you know, with climbing, your grip strength is going to come in whether you want it to or not. Because in some situations, you know, just like when you're trying to get real tight in a lift, when you think you're as tight as you can always get a little tighter. It's the same thing with the grip when you're climbing, especially if you're in a precarious situation, you know, like all of a sudden your grip can get even tighter and stronger.
Right.
And you thought you were at 100%, you can go another 10 or 20% if the situation is requiring it, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you're bending every other day. What's a normal week of training look like for you in addition to the bending?
So the bending, I'm doing a lot of deadlifts, just conventional.
Double overhand on the grip, or do you do the stagger?
I do the mixed grip.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of back squats, a lot of pistols, which have been, the bane of my existence, but I'm finally getting them. I'm so tall. I'm sort of Amazonian, so it's just like, It takes forever to get down there and back up, you know?
Yeah.
And then I do a lot of heavy presses with the kettlebell and pulls.
Nice.
That's pretty much it.
Cool.
A hill sprint. I started through in hill sprints recently. So I've been doing those 3 days a week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just for the cardio, because I don't really like doing cardio.
Yeah, yeah. That was the beauty of doing grappling, was like the cardio was built into something challenging and fun, and it didn't feel like I was doing cardio. You know?
Yeah.
It's that has been a challenge for sure to get that in each week. So you're bending blue nails, right?
Right now I'm back to yellows. I'm just bending yellows.
Okay.
Never. I accidentally bent to blue the other day.
Oh, I saw that post. Hard, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I can bend them, but I'm not regularly bending those right now.
What are some of the goals that you have going past that?
Sorry.
That's okay.
The 60 penny, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't tried anything else. So yeah.
The trouble with those, it's like, this also comes up a ton and is just discussed a ton, and you've probably heard it too. It's just like the variety of 60 pennies that are out there is insane. It's like some of them are so easy. I would call them much easier than a yellow, like maybe in green territory or something like that. They're just so easy. And then of course the ones that I bought a 55 pound box of are like the strongest thing that are like, I feel like they're like grade 5 bolt territory. They're very, very, very stiff. It's crazy.
Wow. I haven't, my friend bent one, Amy Larson.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's another female bender. And she said the next time she does it, she's probably going to cut that end off.
The head.
This dug into her hand so bad.
She yeah.
Without that, it would have been so much better, you know, but she bent it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So are you use Iron Mind wraps all the time, or?
I buy my suede from Andrew at Fat Bastard.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Been trying to get him on the show too. He just moved and this and that. So eventually we'll get him on.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what was I saying? So we got the goal of the 60 penny. Do you have goals past that, or is it pretty much just your eyes set on that for right now?
I don't. I mean, I would love to bend the red nail.
Yeah.
Seriously. I don't know how far away I am from that ever happening. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever comes.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. I mean, honest to goodness, I sort of just follow my coach's instructions and it just happens.
Cool.
He's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
He just do this, and this, and I do it and it just happens every time. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Have you played around with the other styles at all? Have you done any braced or?
I have not. I haven't. I would actually like to bend a horseshoe too. I haven't done that
yet. Cool. Yeah. I do these tip videos, not me personally, but my guests. I have, so I just created a YouTube playlist of all the tip videos, and Tom Flesher did this great in-depth horseshoe video. I'll send it to you. I've sent it to a bunch of people. It's what I used to bend my first horseshoe and a lot of other people, because it's like just the perfect like tutorial. It's really good, especially if you get the right thing. I'm sure your coach will tell you and everything, but I made the mistake of going to Tractor Supply and just like picking a horseshoe, you know, like I was like, oh, it's a horseshoe. And then just wrapping the wraps like whatever way, and come to find out there's like particular ones you need to get that are like in the realm of bending. And then also like wrapping it as your wraps get tighter as you apply pressure and not just get looser and stuff. So there's some details to it. So I'm happy to have that video out there for people to use.
So where do you get your horseshoes now?
This company online called Stockhoffs. It's just, I think they have like one hub in New Jersey and one in Kentucky and one in somewhere out west. So they get to me in like 2 days with like relatively cheap shipping, which has been good. And they always have the St. Croix, St. Croix, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, the ultra lights and the ones that are good to begin on and things.
Okay.
Yeah. So you haven't done any snapping then, correct?
Mm-mm.
That I would love. You got to do some of that and get back to me, especially as a trainer. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because there are few things next to like competition grappling, like where I'm getting a fresh opponent like every 3 minutes or whatever, that are as physically taxing as like steel snapping. That is some of the hardest training. And especially David Horn puts out these challenges, like these remote competitions where you have to do the snapping in like a weird position, whether it's laying on your back or in like a wrestler's neck bridge. This right. is some of the hardest training I've ever done. It's, and I feel like it's really good. I think actually, I think I've told maybe on here, I feel like I'm always repeating myself on here, but I guess only a few people listen to probably every episode. So, but I spent a bunch of weeks leading up to bending my first red nail was, I did almost all snapping. I just was snapping like, you know, 12, 15 nails at a time. And it really toughened up my hands. And I think like it had a lot. I don't know if you can make like a scientific distinction, but mm-hmm. I feel personally that all that snapping training helped when I went back to try to bend the red nail.
Okay.
It's right.
So you bend it double yep. over and then double under?
No, actually, this is mostly just like using the leg crush. Like, mm-hmm. So you could kink, if you're doing like a speed snap, like on David Horn's page, there's a bunch of like competitive feats. Like, and if you get it, you get your name on a list, which is pretty fun. And so you could kink it over your knee and then crush it with your thighs and then open it on your hip and then crush it with your thigh and then open it on your hip. It's interesting because it's like, it's very, very technical in the sense of like, if your wraps slip at all, it's like you're losing tons of time, or like if you don't open it enough, it's, David was doing these bolt offs each Sunday for the month of December. And it was like a snap a grade 5 bolt and whoever did it the fastest, like was the winner and stuff like that. And it was like, guys were snapping these things down to like, I think Ruben Hughes, are you familiar with Ruben?
No.
This guy from Wales,
okay.
Insane brace bender and probably the best snapper there is. He snapped one in like 16 seconds or something like that. It's like when you first snap something, you're going to be like, I don't know how anyone would ever do this in under a minute. And then little by little, the time starts coming down. It's so fun. You got to try it out.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna look it up now. Yeah, that's not even entered my realm yet. So that's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, and it's conditioning too. That's what I think is kind of neat about it, is it's sort of like, it has that aspect of like endurance training as well. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool. Yeah.
So something that we talk about a lot, and I feel like it's the type of strength that everyone in bending and grip training is in pursuit of, is like, people call it farm strength or functional strength or old man strength or whatever the term might be. I always like to, especially when the person's a trainer that I'm speaking to, is just like, what are we talking about when we're talking about that type of strength, and what type of training do you recommend to get that type of functional strength?
Farmer strength. Honestly, I would say kettlebell.
Nice. Yeah.
Personally, I mean, because it's what I know, and I know yeah. that it gives you that kind of strength, and it's so it seems to work those little fine twitchy muscles in a way that the barbell doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And of course, the grip strength, you know, yeah. there with that snatching.
Yep.
Little snatches, carries. Get ups.
Oh yeah.
Bit breath. All that time under tension. That's yeah. the thing that's gonna do it, I think, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah. Like I love like I was saying, I love the bent press, but I don't love it with a kettlebell. I love it with a barbell.
Interesting.
I love to try to make it not spin, you know? Because okay. with that's the grip strength with that is far more superior, I think, than with a kettlebell.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
The weight is the difference, you know, with being spread out over the bar. the kettlebell is more difficult, I think, as far as weight wise, but as far as grip and control, the barbell is definitely superior if you want to test that part of your strength. You know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I definitely agree with the get-ups too. That's like an exercise that I did a little bit, you know, like sometimes at the grappling class or whatever, we do some as warm-ups and this and that, and they're so hard that I just always hated them, but I've really gotten into them recently, and I certainly feel like that's something that's building you like strong in all angles, or building up that functional strength.
Yeah, building you strong, or getting you strong in weird angles too.
Right, it's, right.
Not normally, you know.
Yep.
Really challenges your flexibility in those positions, and it just, yeah, it's exhausting, but it taps your central nervous system out.
Yep.
Big time, but it also like opens up that comfort zone wider and wider the more you do it, you know.
Yeah. It's
very uncomfortable in the beginning.
Yeah. Another thing that we talk about usually, and I find super interesting, and my friend Josh Goldthorpe, Chuck and Canuck put it so well, was like, in normal lifting, it feels like we're using the belly of the muscle, he put it, you know. And then when we go to bending, we're sort of like going to the point where we've used all of that muscle. And then it's like, I guess, just tendon and ligament strength that's pushing through, you know.
Well, so this is kind of weird because there's been so many times in my gym, I used to have I had a trainer who had a CrossFit box, right? And she had all these guys back there, and they were very strong guys, you know, and they'd all like, let me try one of those nails. And so I'd hand it to them and try to give them just a little quick instruction. None of them got it. And they were like, all right, you do it. And then I would do it. And they're like, they would be so frustrated, you know. I mean, they're like, that's so cool, but I don't understand why I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I realized that the thing that I had that they did not have, and once again, not knocking CrossFit at all, but the style of training that they did, they did not quite grasp total body tension. Mm. And that was the thing I had. I knew how to achieve that tension to get the nail to bend.
Yeah.
Technique also, and had been practicing, obviously.
Yeah.
But watching them, like trying to manhandle it and muscle it and not just getting tense and getting solid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, yep. And holding that tension for a long time, seconds, you know, like 10 seconds is a long time when you're doing that, you know, 15 seconds, whatever.
Definitely. Yeah.
That was the part they were missing, and they could not quite mentally figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm so glad you bring that up, actually, because even though I've been relatively successful with bending, that's something I personally struggle with a ton. And when I communicate with my coaches about my regular lifts, there was body tension, body tension, body tension. And I think I was getting so frustrated with it because why can't I just get tense and do this? And I realized it's because of spending so much time in grappling where essentially tensing up means you get tired, means you get tapped or whatever. So I'm fighting my own instincts of trying to remain loose under these pressure situations. So that's something I've been really trying to develop. And I know that my bending will take another jump when I'm able to do that. Is there any physical cues? I know some people say like, try to like spread the floor with your toes. Mm-hmm. Is there any physical cues or mental cues that you use to help you when you're trying to create the body tension?
For bending?
Or in general,
Yes. So I will think about spreading my lats out super tight, right? And I always think about being tight, but the breath is the main thing for me. Like I'll feel my whole, no matter what I'm doing, except for bench press, I will fill my whole abdomen with air.
Okay.
And just bear down in my pelvic floor and like really try to just visualize myself as a machine or a robot, and I'm moving in the same way over and over, right?
Yeah.
And like when I'm bending, I have to completely stretch my lats out.
Yeah.
And then when I'm coming back with a nail, then I spread them and I fill up with air and then I fold into it. And that's cool. So, you know, just like the deadlift, everybody has their setup for everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This ritual that I have to do every time.
Yeah.
And if I break from that, it doesn't work. Sometimes it does, but not as well. And it doesn't look pretty, you know?
Yeah.
Cause you want it to look good too.
Yeah.
You don't want to, I mean, sometimes I'll look at my videos and I'm like, I look like an absolute lunatic trying to bend this nail.
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I've noticed the people that are, Brett is a perfect example. Other people, they all have particular like sequences, almost like a ritualistic type thing to recreate that movement each time. And it's funny because at me as like a white belt in a regular lifting, I always thought, I was like, look at all these people like getting all like centered. And I was sort of just like hating on it from a point of ignorance, right? It was just like, why don't they just lift up the bar? What is all this stuff? And then fast forward down, like I wound up trying to deadlift far too much than I should have been doing that soon in, and wound up like tweaking my lower back. So now it's better now, but I was just like, have a ton of respect for the ritual and like the grounding aspect to it, because I was of course too loose and just came out of position and hurt myself, you know?
Yeah. Cause like even in the deadlift, I every now and then we'll put a belt on if I'm going for like just a single lift that's kind of out of my comfort zone, you know? I'm getting tired. Like maybe I've already done a lot of lifts, but I don't like to wear that because I just think that it's really important to be able to get that tension that you need to be lifting what you're attempting to lift. Otherwise you probably shouldn't really be doing it, you know?
Yep.
But if you're going for something that's a little out of range, then perhaps if you're tired, you know, but
yeah,
I mean, but as far as cues, yeah, like spreading the earth. I always tell people when they're like, you know, with a bar or the handle of the kettlebell, like grab it like you're trying to leave your entire handprint in it, like squeeze all the air out of your hand.
Yeah.
Like literally like get it around there and start, you know, start low. And then just fill up with air and tighten up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to be so important. It's like as soon as that, I had that realization, all the videos I watch, whether it is just like something like a deadlift or bending, all the people that are doing it at an elite level, I can see how tense they are getting it. It makes all the difference.
Yeah.
So how about recovery and or nutrition in relation to bending? So I get, you're not really putting in super long sessions, but I'm sure whatever you're doing is working if you're bending every other day.
So my recovery is really, so I do supplementation, you know, like fish oil and stuff like that. I drink protein shake a day, whatever. But my main thing is ice baths. Cool. I have a chest freezer that I got full of ice water. And I get in it daily. And I set a meditation on the phone. And just, so I'll do some breathing exercises first, which I did with Adam and Dave Whitley at that workshop. Uh-huh. We did fire breathing, and I don't necessarily always do fire breathing to get in there, but I'll just like really oxygenate first. And then for about 20 minutes, 15 minutes sometimes.
Yep.
And then I get into the water for about 10 minutes.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. And I'm never sore.
Really?
I broke my radius and my ulna in July, and he took the cast off a month early, and I swear it was because of the ice baths.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, I'm not really sure why you're healing so fast, but great. And Yeah, it was, but I mean, it's truly for, healing and for recovery.
Yep.
For me.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And anything specific with nutrition? I mean, I'm sure you're just eating pretty well as far as general.
I eat a lot of fatty fish.
Uh-huh.
I love veggies. I love fruit. I eat a ton of fruit. And then I like ice cream. And so I kind of eat. I just eat well. And then when I want to eat what I want to eat, I do that too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd say 80-20. That's about what I do.
That's good. Nice. So I always like to hear people's take on this because I feel like it takes a special kind of person to get into steel bending. It's just like you could. So say you max out on the deadlift. That's fun. You feel really good, of course. But if you didn't videotape your lift, it's sort of done in that moment, right? So there's something beautiful about having that bent piece of steel. And I just like, just as like a trophy of what you did, you know, it's like there's to have something physical that you're able to hold, I think is just kind of unique to this. And I just would love to hear your thoughts on that, you know?
Yeah, I have these, there's some kind of pipes, I don't know, at my studio hanging above my desk. They're just like a conduit or something, right? Encasing the wires.
Yep.
And I hang every nail over that. And I took a picture of it and posted it the other day.
I saw it, yeah.
In the year. And I love looking at that. And people come in and they're like, what are those? You know, yep. Like, those are nails that, you know, this year. And well, then they want to know about it, you know, because it's an attention grabber in a way too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could never get rid of them.
Right.
I was like, and then there's that guy that's, I don't even know how to say his name, Suzo Hill, or I think he's Czech or Russian, maybe. I don't know, but he like contorts all of his nails into these sculptures. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
They're beautiful. I was like, well, maybe I can just turn it into some kind of art. I don't know.
Definitely.
He actually bent his into those, you know, designs.
Yep.
But yeah.
The scrolling too, you know, I've played around a little bit with that. I've played around with most things within this crazy thing. The scrolling is really cool because I've always been somewhat of like an artistic guy. And just, I had like hot rolled 5/16ths or whatever to cut down to practice for the red nail. And I just took like a 4-foot section of that and like, you know, twisted it up into a cool sculpture. Like that's a pretty neat thing, I think. And I think you would enjoy it as well. It's like just the fact of having a workout and then having this sort of piece of art at the end of it is kind of neat.
It is. It's really cool. Yeah. I would like to be able to do something with them all.
Yeah, for real.
Very heavy, whatever it was.
All right. So we're starting to wrap up here. So at the end of the show, I do what I call the medley, which is just a rapid fire series of questions.
Okay.
You ready to go?
Sure.
All right. So favorite thing to bend. I know you're not doing much variety, but.
I guess I'll say the blue now.
All right, cool. strongest bending style?
Double overhand.
Nice. Have you tried the other styles at all or no? Okay, so we can't do weakest style.
No.
All right, something outside of bending, strength training, this whole world in general that you enjoy doing?
Anything outside, really. I love hiking, kayaking, like riding too, yeah.
We've been doing so much. Like my son, if he goes on another hike, he's gonna like jump off a bridge because just like with everything being closed for the most part, it's like we've just been doing so many hikes and he's over it.
He's done.
All right. What's the one bend that's got away? Have you attempted anything above the blue? Just
fun? What is that hex? Bar or hex nail, do you know what I'm talking about or not?
Like a hex bolt?
I don't have one here.
Is it from Fab Bastard?
Yes.
Oh, maybe just like he has like hexagon stock.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't even. Nothing.
All right. Here's a fun one. This usually throws people, but don't overthink it. Is who's the strongest person you know? This could be like your grandpa or like some guy from your town or like an elite strongman. It doesn't matter.
The strongest person I know, that I know personally.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say his name again, Paul McElroy.
Dude's awesome. Strong. I got to get him on the show. I think that's Brett. I think what Brett said, I think that was his answer to this question. Mm-hmm. All right. And what's the best piece of advice you were ever given? This could be about strength training or sports or life in general.
Don't do anything you don't love as far as sports.
Cool.
You do it 100% if you do love it.
Awesome.
My dad.
And last question. I feel like this should be extra funny. What's the funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you spend your time bending nails?
Why? What's the point? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's from women too. They're like, what? Why?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. In closing, who's someone besides Paul McElroy that you'd like to see me have on the show?
There's a few people, actually. I would love to see you get Ben Mattingly on here.
Okay.
And then there's two women.
Awesome.
Anja Tetzner, A-N-J-A.
Okay.
E-T-Z-N-E-R. And Amy Larson.
All right. Awesome. All right. And tips and advice for beginner benders. We kind of covered this a little bit, but expand on it a little.
Don't get in a hurry and just take your time with it and practice. And don't get frustrated. Just keep practicing.
Cool.
Breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. Play, like, it came up a whole bunch and it was like perfect because I really needed to hear it too. It's just like, play the long game with this, you know, like I had Carl Donaty on. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he's been actively bending for like close to 12 years. And there's plenty of guys that have been that I've found that have been around for that long, but maybe they've taken multiple year breaks in there where they didn't do any bending. But the crazy thing about Carl is he actively was bending for all those 12 years. And I've talked to very few people that have done that. And he was just like, I don't really overdo it. He actually did an incredible feat of, he bent a red nail every week for 10 years straight. Wow. And he took this amazing picture of him with all the red nails laid out and he stacked them to spell 10 years. And it was like the coolest picture.
That is really, really cool.
Yeah. Wow. And I feel like a feat that nobody else will do. it's like that will definitely set him out apart from the crowd. All right. So, and where can people find you on social media and your gym and stuff like that?
I don't do a lot of, I'm Amanda Hudson on Facebook. I don't do Facebook much. Okay. A Hudson Coaching on Instagram and okay. The Miss Lou Amazing 12 is my website.
Okay, great. And does the gym have a Instagram or anything?
No.
Okay. How about any events, brands, or gear you want to give a shout out? Do you have any companies you support, anything like that?
Yeah, I love Fat Bastard and Iron Mind. Fat Bastard is always super helpful. He'll bend over backwards for you. That guy's great. And awesome. Yeah, definitely. And I have to give Adam Glass kudos for that too. Adam's been very, very helpful to me. Not that he gives me any supplies or anything, but he definitely gives me great advice. So
me too. I'm having him back on the show in a couple of weeks. Really looking forward to it.
Podcast was great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So that's it. Anything else you want to say in closing?
No, thank you so much. It was fun.
Awesome. All right, Amanda. I'll definitely like to have you back on in the future and have a great rest of the night.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot. All right, bye.